I believe this was truly the golden age of radio. We never connected to any other medium in quite the same way. The microphone was like a stethoscope, a Geiger counter, a crystal ball. It could take you places that you could never imagine. This is John Lovering, and you are listening to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show. I want you to feel at the end of this program that you have been taken for an audio ride. So buckle up and let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
But Doctor, why can't I see her?
I've already told you, Mrs. Peters, that your daughter has had a most serious breakdown. She has to be kept absolutely quiet. If you were to go in and cause one of her attacks of hysteria, I really couldn't answer for the consequences.
I can't believe it somehow. She was perfectly well when I saw her that evening. We had supper together. She was worried over you, of course, but as soon as she got your note...
Did she tell you what was in it?
No. She just read it and said she'd had to go to your house at once and get you something.
She didn't say what it was.
I think she said something about some medicine.
Oh, is that all? That's quite right. I was working on an emergency case and needed a special drug.
She went off right away, and that's the last I ever saw of her. I just can't believe it somehow.
Mrs. Peters, you must believe me. These things are very terrible, but Helen has been working under terrific pressure for a long while. We never know when the break is going to come, but when it does...
Doctor, she'll get well again, won't she? You don't think it might be permanent?
It's too early to say, but with quiet and constant care...
Couldn't I help to look after her? I'd do everything you tell me to. I can't bear to think that strangers are with her when her own mother...
Perhaps in a little while it might be possible, but just at present, only the most skilled nursing
will... She was so happy. If you could have only seen her face when she came and told me you'd asked her to marry you.
Oh, please don't speak of that. You can imagine how this terrible sickness of hers affects me.
I know. This is a grief we share in common, Henry. Oh, you don't mind if I call you that, do you?
Of course not. As Helen's mother, you have every right to.
She's told me so much about you. And I'd looked forward to the time we'd meet. I never thought... But it would be like this. I won't keep you any longer. You've got more than enough to do. If you'll just let me know how she is and when I can come and see her.
I'll do that the first moment I think it will be safe. Now come. Let me show you to the door. Would you like me to call you a cab?
Oh, no, no. I haven't far to go. I'm staying with my sister and she lives quite close to here.
Good. Then I can easily get in touch with you if it's necessary.
Mother!
Good gracious! What's that?
I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me. It's Helen.
Mother.
She must be having one of her attacks again. Pooh, will you show Mrs. Peters to
Mother.
The door?
Mother.
Yes, Dr. Jekyll. This way, please, madam.
But, Doctor, let
Mother.
Me...
No, you must go at once. I'll have to attend to her myself. Goodbye.
This way, please, madam. This way. Here, stop. Where are you going?
I'm going upstairs.
But you can't. The doctor's orders.
I don't care what the doctor said. My child is up there sick and she's calling for me. It'll take more than you to keep me away from her. Get out of my way.
But,
get out of my way, I said.
Oh, Dr. Jekyll will be very angry.
If you were in my place, what would you do?
If I were in your place, madam, I would do exactly as you are doing. So help me, I would.
Thank you. And now... Will you let me pass?
Mrs.
I will see my mother, I will, and you can't keep me away from her.
Helen, dear, your mother is already gone. She's going to come back later on when you're feeling better.
But there's nothing the matter with me now. I don't know why you're keeping me here.
It's for your own good, my dear.
It's not. It's because you're afraid I'll tell what I know.
Oh, dear. The old delusion again.
All right. Call it a delusion. Call it anything you like. But let me go. Let me see my mother.
Helen, dear, that is not possible.
Why?
Mother. Oh, Mother.
Mrs. Peters, how dare you come up here?
I heard her calling me.
That is no reason. I told you she was in a highly dangerous condition. Don't you know that you're risking her very sanity?
That isn't true.
You can see for yourself. Look at her face. Look at her eyes.
And do you wonder? Do you think I can ever be the same again after what I saw?
Tell your mother what you saw, Helen.
I saw... Oh, how can I tell her? No one will believe me.
I insist that you tell her.
Tell me, Helen. Tell me, dear.
Oh, Mother. Oh, perhaps he's right. Perhaps it was a terrible delusion.
But tell me, what was it you think you saw?
You remember that I got a letter telling me to go to his house and get some medicine?
Yes, I remember.
I did as he asked and waited for him to come. When the knock came to the door, I opened it. And there on the step I saw... not Henry Jekyll, as I had thought, but Edward Hyde.
What? Edward Hyde? The murderer?
Yes.
But what was he doing there? Did you call for help?
No. He told me he'd come from Henry. I was frightened and let him come inside. He asked for the drug. He seemed half beside himself with fear and told me something would happen to Henry if he didn't get it. I took him up to my room...
Go on.
I showed him the drawer which held the drug. And just as he was about to go, we heard a loud knocking on the street door. It was the police.
The police?
Yes, they'd seen him come into the house. They'd been trailing him all afternoon and had now come to arrest him for the murder of Mr. Utterson.
Oh, Helen, how terrible.
But wait, Mother. I opened the window and called down to them. And when I turned back into the room, there was Hyde. I saw it, I tell you, I saw it with my own eyes.
What did you see?
I saw him rush to the drawer, take out the bottle of red fluid, pour some into a glass, and the white powder. And when it had dissolved, he put it to his lips and drank. I thought it was poison. I rushed forward to seize it from him. But he'd fallen to the floor. I've seen people who've taken strychnine. I've seen epilepsy. But I've never seen anything so terrible as the seizure that he had then. I just stood there, paralyzed with horror. And then he seemed to change. I can't explain it, but his face seemed to swell up and grow black, and his features seemed to melt and alter. His whole body changed before my very eyes. Everything grew black before me. I sprang away and held my hands before my eyes to hide the horror from them. And when I looked again, he'd got up to his feet, was clinging to the edge of the table. And I swear that what I say is true. The man I saw there, gasping for breath, pale and terrible, was Henry Jekyll.
Helen, what are you saying?
Now, will you believe me when I tell you that she is completely unbalanced?
I'm not. I saw it, I tell you.
Helen, dear, you mustn't upset yourself like this. Oh, Henry, what are we going to do about her?
I'll give her another sedative and put her to sleep.
Sleep? Sleep? You're always putting me to sleep. Why don't you do the job properly and put me to sleep forever?
Helen.
Oh, Mother, take me away from here. I'm not mad. If he'll let me go, I'll never tell another living soul what I saw.
Helen, my dear, Helen. I'll let you go, my dear, as soon as you are well.
As soon as you can persuade me that I imagined it all. I'll never believe that, never.
Come now. Take this sleeping draught and rest. You've had far too much excitement, my dear.
Yes, take it, Helen. It's for your own good, dear.
You too, Mother. You too.
Oh, won't anyone believe me? I'm not mad, I tell you. I'm not mad.
No, no, my dear, you're not mad. But you're very, very sick.
Oh.
Now, calm yourself. Calm yourself. Now, just drink this down and go to sleep. I'll let your mother come and see you tomorrow. Come now. That's a good girl. Drink it down. That's a good girl. We'll leave you now, my dear. I want to have a little talk to your mother, and then I will come back. Now, will you be all right?
Yes, yes, I'm all right.
Nurse will look after you. Come, Mrs. Peters.
Oh, Henry. Henry, this is terrible.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yes, of course I do. What will be the end of it?
I'm hoping that rest and quiet and unremitting care will bring her round.
And if not?
If this strange delusion doesn't pass, well, we may have to find some way of safeguarding her against herself.
You don't mean some sort of home?
Well, it's early to think of that, but it may become necessary.
Oh, no. No. Not my lovely, sane girl.
Don't you think it breaks my heart as much as yours? This most dreadful thing that has ever happened to me. I'd give my very life if I could make her well again.
Have you any idea what made her like this?
Yes. I believe that she did open the door and saw Edward Hyde standing there. After all, we have the evidence of the police that he came to that house that night.
And do you think he did something to her?
I think that the shock and terror of seeing him there may have unbalanced her.
So that's another crime against the name of Edward Hyde. I wonder, is there any punishment terrible enough to fit the sins of such a man?
There is a punishment awaiting Edward Hyde. That will be more terrible than anything that you could ever imagine. With every hour that passes, it is creeping on him, and he knows, as I do, that there is no escape.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Margaret?
Why, John, when did you get back from London?
Oh, just a few minutes ago. I caught the early morning train.
Why didn't you let us know?
Oh, I made up my mind in a hurry and didn't wait to send a telegram. Tell me, are you glad to see me?
Of course I am. You'll be just in time for the garden party at Lady Winston's. You can be my partner in the mixed doubles if you like.
Oh, I'd love to. But I didn't come all the way down from London to play tennis with you, Margaret, my dear.
You look very serious. What's the matter?
I've got something to tell you. Shall we go for a walk through the garden?
Yes, by all means. I was just going out when you called me. I wanted to pick some delphiniums for your mother's room.
You don't know how much I love to see you so much at home down here, Margaret. You just seem as though you belong.
Your mother and father make me feel that way. I can't tell you how kind they've been.
Of course they have. They love you, that's why. Margaret, I...
Shall we go into the garden?
Yes, come along. We'll go out through this door.
Tell me what you did in London. Did you have a good time?
Not very.
Why?
I was longing to get back here all the time. I don't have to tell you why, do I?
Please, John.
You can't stop me, Margaret. I've come down here to say these things to you, and you must hear them.
But if I don't want to hear them...
Why don't you? Margaret, it's months now since I spoke of this. You asked me to give you time. Haven't I been patient long enough?
You've been marvelous. Don't think I'm not grateful.
Grateful? Do you think it's gratitude I want from you? Margaret, look at me. I've reached a decision. I'm not going to stand by and see you let the best years of your life go by for the sake of a man who I really believe is absolutely worthless.
Why do you say that?
Because of certain things I heard in London.
What were they?
Don't look at me like that. I'm not merely carrying gossip back to you. It's because your happiness and mine is at stake that you've got to know.
Very well, then. What is it?
A friend of mine, someone whose word I can absolutely trust, was in a jeweler's shop in Bond Street one day last week.
Go on.
Jekyll came in while he was there. He had a woman with him. They were buying an engagement ring.
What?
It's true. He heard it all. They chose a ring of sapphires and went out of the place arm in arm. Oh,
don't tell me any more. Don't, please.
My dear, I could kill him for hurting you so much.
It's all right. Actually, I knew it all along.
You knew?
Yes. I saw him when I was in town a few weeks ago. He told me then.
That's why you came back looking so white and strained. Oh, why didn't you tell me?
What could you have done?
Couldn't I have helped a little bit? Doesn't the fact that I love you and would do anything in the world to make you happy count for anything?
Indeed it does. More than you can ever guess.
Then marry me. Let me take you away. Let's begin a new life together and wipe out all the old disappointments and pain.
Do you think that's possible?
Yes, of course I do. You don't know what a really happy love can be. You've never really been happy with Henry. There was always some sort of dark shadow over him all the time.
Perhaps you're right. And perhaps that's why I loved him so much. He seemed to need love more than anybody else I knew.
It'll take more than your love to help him now.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know exactly. But there are strange stories about him. People are beginning to whisper.
What about? What has he done?
He's been drinking. He failed to attend an important operation at a hospital. I caught sight of him for a moment only yesterday, and I was astounded at the change in him.
Then something must be wrong. He'd never do that unless there was.
Yes, there's something wrong, all right. There's always been something wrong with him. Some queer, sinister streak in him that's coming to the fore. Margaret, don't you remember when we were children how he sometimes seemed to be possessed of something almost unholy?
Then perhaps we shouldn't judge him too harshly.
Perhaps not. But can't you see that he's no man for you, my dear? What happiness could there possibly have been with him?
I don't know. I just know that he seemed to possess me body and soul. And I'd have done anything for him. Gone anywhere he wished.
But that's all over now, isn't it? He's going to marry someone else.
Yes. All over.
And you? Aren't you going to marry someone else? Someday?
I suppose so.
Then let it be soon. Don't let the time slip by.
Oh, how can I take so much from you and give so little in return?
I'll be content. Just to have you with me always is...
Oh, I'm so tired, John. So tired.
Yes, I know. I'll help you to forget. We'll be happy together.
We'll be happy. But I don't think I'll forget. Ever.
Talk to me for a while.
Oh, yes, Henry.
I've come to tell you that I've reached a big decision about you. I'm going to send you away to my house in the country.
What do you mean? What are you going to do with me when I'm there?
You needn't be afraid, my dear. I won't go with you. I'm going to remain here. There'll just be you and your mother
and the servants to wait on you.
Why are you doing this, Henry?
Because I can't pretend to you any longer. You were right, Helen. What you saw that night in your house in Bloomsbury is true.
Then you admit it. It wasn't a terrible dream. It really happened.
Yes, everything you've said is right. I did come to you in the shape of Hyde. I did take that dreadful dose, and you saw me change back into Henry Jekyll with your own eyes.
No, no. In spite of myself, I've begun to believe you. I've begun to think that it wasn't possible.
I know that. But something happened last night that makes it impossible for me to go on deceiving you.
Henry, you look terrible. You're pale and trembling. What has happened?
A punishment more terrible than anything I ever imagined has descended on me. And I must face it alone. That is why I'm sending you away.
But you must tell me. Sometimes I think I'm really going mad. I know what I saw, yet I know it isn't possible.
In the realm of science, my dear, nothing is impossible.
What has science got to do with you and Edward Hyde?
Everything. It was my knowledge of science, imperfect though it is, that brought him into being.
What do you mean? You're not saying that you created him?
No. That was done the moment I was born. Edward Hyde is nothing more or less than the visible form of my lower, baser self.
I can't understand. I know I saw him. I know I saw him change to you. But still, I feel it isn't possible.
Let me put it this way. You know that within yourself there are two forces. One for good, one for evil. Haven't you been conscious of them?
Of course, that applies to everybody.
To everybody. But only to me occurred the thought that these two elements could be freed from one another. The evil to follow his inclinations, the good to pursue his highest ideals, without the constant urge to abandon the austere path of the spirit and indulge to the full the flesh.
Henry, when I hear you speak like that, when I see your face as it is now, all the horror of the past few days vanishes. You're once more the man I loved and worked with. I can see again the tender, compassionate face of the saint bending over the suffering men and women who came to you for help. Can't we forget all that happened? Can't we go back to the clinic again? They're waiting for you, Henry.
I can never go back again.
Why? You can't desert them. Think how they need you. Who'll look after them if you're not there?
I hope that you and my friend Hugh Lanyon will take my place.
But why? Why? I don't understand what you've been telling me. It seems like some sort of nightmare.
Oh, if only it was. If only I could wake and realize that the horror that possesses me was nothing more than a dreadful vision of the night.
Henry, tell me, what is it that makes you shudder and turn pale?
I've brought this terrible fate on myself. Therefore, I must endure it alone.
But what is it? What?
In the beginning, it was Jekyll who was stronger than Hyde. And now it is the other way. Hyde is the master. I am now his slave.
But how?
He takes possession of me any time he likes.
No.
At one time, he could only appear when I took the medicine. Now I have to take it to change myself back into Jekyll.
Oh.
It happens more and more frequently. I have to take stronger and stronger doses, even to the danger of my life.
Henry, no. Oh, no.
Oh, don't cry, dear. Don't cry, dear. I had no right to tell you.
Yes, yes, you had. I wanted to know. We'll fight it together. There must be some way.
None that I know of.
You must go on taking the medicine. You must fight against him all the time.
But I can't fight. I can't fight. I feel myself growing weaker. Weaker after each attack. At one time, Hyde was weak and puny. Now, he has been indulged to the full. He is possessed of a terrible strength. He attacks me like a raging monster. I have no power to resist him.
Perhaps if I were with you.
No. Never dream of such a thing. I couldn't answer for what might happen. He's now so vile, I dare not let him loose. As soon as I feel the first shudders that warn me of his coming, I have to lock myself in my laboratory, where no one ever comes, and where I keep the drugs that can restore me back to sanity.
But as long as you have that...
Ah, yes, as long as I have it. And there lies my horror and my final dreadful doom. I have only enough of the original for 3 more doses. 3 more doses. And though I have ransacked London, there is no more to be had.